Hello, I'm Lina Ahmadou. Welcome to Health Chat. On the program today, we will have a discussion on the toxicity in food we consume from added coloring and other products. But first, Tanzania Health Ministry has confirmed the country's first two cases of mpox. This is the first time the virus has been detected in an outbreak that has hit several African countries. Two individuals exhibiting symptoms were isolated and tested on Sunday, Health Minister Jenista Magama said in a statement on X. One of them is a truck driver who traveled from a neighboring country to Dar es Salaam. In a report by the African Union's health agency last week, 6,034 cases of mpox have been confirmed since January in 22 countries, resulting in 25 deaths. Mpox, caused by a virus from the same family as smallpox, can be transmitted between humans through close physical contact. It causes fever, muscular aches, and large boil-like skin lesions, and can be deadly. We turn now to toxicity in food. U.S. health officials have banned red dye number 3 from American foods used in certain food products such as candy, cakes, frozen desserts, and frostings. As VOA's Dora Mekua reports, studies have linked the bright red color additive to cancer in male laboratory rats.
Red dye number 3 gives its vibrant color to a variety of products, many of which appeal to children. Like candy, sprinkles, cakes with fun colors, fruit-inspired treats. It's also found in medications. Red 3 is derived from petroleum. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration, or FDA, approved its use in food in 1969.
70% of our grocery stores are ultra-processed foods. Most of them, if not all of them, contain one of the 9 synthetic food dyes.
Last month, the FDA banned the coloring in all food and drugs. Studies show that the substance causes cancer in male lab rats.
These things can actually cause damage. These things are synthetic, meaning they're xenobiotics, meaning they're foreign to the body, meaning they'll stimulate inflammation, and inflammation is intimately tied to carcinogenesis,
which is the start of cancer formation. Europe banned Red 3 from foods in 1994. The additive was banned in U.S. cosmetics in 1990. The food ban in America was delayed in part by industry pressure, according to Hofseth.
A lot of lobbyists pushing back against regulations against synthetic food dyes, which is a big, big industry.
The FDA ban mandates that manufacturers reformulate food without Red 3, starting in January 2027, and ingested drugs a year later.
We have the opportunity to replace it with things that likely have no harmful effects. And that's the hope. A great reformulation, I hope, is a great reformulation because it reimagines products from the ground up.
That means getting used to new ways to inject color into food, like using natural food coloring, or getting used to less colorful aisles in the grocery store.
Certain things might look a little different, and they might look actually how they're probably supposed to look, might taste in cases a little bit different.
In some cases, Red 3 might be replaced by Red 40, another synthetic food dye. In Europe, foods containing Red 40 currently require a warning label that the product may cause hyperactivity in children. Dora McQuar, VOA News, Washington.
Joining us in the studio for more insight on toxic food and what can be done is Dr. Shondell Knights, a naturopathic doctor and founder of Nirvana Holistic Medicine. Dr. Knights, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
First off, let me ask you your reaction to the FDA's recent ban of red number 3 in food.
Oh, I think it's about time. It's way overdue, and there's more to go, but we're starting somewhere.
Yeah, so it's a starting point, right?
Yeah.
A step in the right direction. Because when we look at some of the food that we eat, yeah, right, you take just any given candy packaging, and then you can read on it, yellow 3, red 20, 30, all these coloring. And then there are ingredients you can't even pronounce. Mm-hmm. So give us a sense of what we are looking at every day when we're dealing with these processed food.
And that is the key word, process. There are so many overly processed foods in our supermarket. It's just become part of the American equation. You know, if for something to be packaged and wrapped, it has to be preserved. So first of all, you need to think about what kind of preservatives. Most of the times, those chemicals are so foreign to the body doesn't know what to do with it. Mm. So it builds inflammation. And inflammation is just a breeding ground for so many conditions, especially cancer. So when you read the back of a package, you really have to be careful. Can I pronounce it? Is this natural? Because if you can't understand it, your body certainly can't read it and understand it. And yes, all it can do is try to get it out. And inflammation is one of those ways our body tries to get things out. Like when you sneeze, that's an inflammatory response. You have mucus that comes and tries to get stuff out. But that same kind of process is happening in your gut. Right. So if you're building inflammation in your gut, then your body starts to create all of these different processes and eventually it turns into things like cancer. And that's why they're banning red dye number three. But
But there are other coloring products that are used. Right. So
and even in this ban, it's not a complete moving away from red dye. Okay. We're not going to think about red dye number 40 as your start. Okay. So it's just replacing one thing for another. So it's a start. But what I think it's going to do is make people aware that they have to start paying attention. You are responsible for what you put in your mouth.
Yes.
You know, the government has regulations, but you can easily put your vote on it by going, I don't want that product that has any dye in it.
Yes.
You know, we have natural food colorings. Why don't we use those? You know, beets are beautifully red.
Do tell.
I was just saying, we all, you know, the lipstick that we wear that has, you know, the red dye number four. There are some lipsticks that are made with beets. Beets are healthy for you and they don't cause that problem. It still gives you this beautiful red color. Mm-hmm. We need to go back to what's in nature because that's what the body can identify. It was just a fast shortcut to get things onto the market, right? And so a lot of these companies are trying to get things inexpensive and get it to the market and mass produce. Yes. But in doing so, we've just created a situation. Now we have to peel back the onion where the body cannot recognize these chemicals and we're seeing cancers on the rise. Let me correct myself. Cancers are happening at earlier ages. We are able to, you know, people are recovering faster from cancer. We are able to beat certain cancers. But what we're seeing is because we're exposed to it at such a young age. Just imagine, you know, you coming out, you red dye and your blue dye and your kids are consuming all these things. So by the time they hit their 20s for a condition that usually happens in the 40s, they're developing those conditions in the 20s.
That's true. And in the story we heard, they talk about the red dyes and medication, in food, of course, cosmetics.
Yeah.
It's really scary.
It's so ubiquitous. But we have a vote. We have a say. You know, you go, okay, if you don't spend your dollars on that product is going to eventually fade. And if you spend your dollar on a product that actually invests in using natural dyes, that product is going to flourish. And I know it's scary. Like we were laughing, like, I mean, everything's going to kill you. But it's not true. There are options. We just need to be vigilant about those and pursue those things that are out there on the market.
And speaking of being vigilant, what advice would you give people to help them identify and avoid harmful food dyes, but toxic chemicals in general? I mean, I know it's a big field. There's so much going on, but let's start with food, right?
All right. So the first thing I would say, when you go to the supermarket, you want to shop the perimeter of the supermarket where you have produce that are just from the earth that didn't get put in a bag. It kills me. Sometimes I see like the bagged vegetables, like, why did you need to put it in plastic? It is absolutely unnecessary to put my broccoli in a bag.
Like, literally just open my eyes because I don't do that all the time, but I do that sometimes.
Yeah.
I buy them in bags.
It's convenient. But then you think about it. Exactly. Like your food is now in contact with plastics.
Yes.
Plastics stay in your body for a very long time.
Word.
So just get the broccoli that's just sitting outside of the bag. I think we think it's more sanitary or something. Okay, I get it.
We're also lazy, honestly. It's about, listen, I'm going to confess. When I buy a bag of broccoli, it's not because of, I think there is any like very complex reason. I'm just being lazy about cutting the buying them and just cutting them and washing. That's all it is.
And that's the thing. And that's the other thing that you have to consider. If your food is already pre-cut, you know, when you cut into a vegetable, you start the oxidation process, which means that thing starts to die. Like the healthy thing inside the broccoli is starting to die. So don't, like, that's one of the things I just, it grinds my, you know, my gut. Like, you don't have to buy cut up fruit. Just buy the fruit and cut it out. Because you start this oxidation. And you can see, like, if you cut up a banana and you leave it out, you see what happens to that banana. Yes. It begins to oxidize, right? Yes. And the nutrients that you're looking for are just wasting away. So don't buy something that's pre-cut. Cut it when you get home. You just, one extra step can make that thing, that the nutrients you're looking for, actually get into your body. Mm-hmm. So first things, shop the perimeter of the market. You'll have vegetables on the outside. You'll have meats on the outside. It's when you start going into the inner aisles where everything is in a bag that you have all of the chemicals start to appear. Yes. Well, there's a caveat to that too. The fish and the meats that are on the market. I eat meat. I'm not telling anyone they have to become the vegan. It is the best option to be plant-based, or at least to eat as many plants as you can. Just eat as many plants and start that. But then think about, like, the fish and the things that
I eat a lot of fish, but not all fish are clearly equal.
Exactly. So you want to get wild caught. Like, your salmon shouldn't be super pink. Like, it's not what happens in nature. Your salmon is getting a dye job.
They add coloring to your fish. Can you imagine?
And your meats. So not just your fish. Like that. What is that? The minced turkey. Like, why is this minced turkey so pink? It's not. They just added some dye to it for your eyes to brighten up. Because we've gotten into the culture where, oh, that's a little pale. It must not be good. You know, and there is something to that. But in order to combat it, they just added dye. And my goodness, your body cannot recognize that dye. It doesn't know what to do with it. You know, so go for wild caught. And I know there's some things, like, in certain areas, you know, wild caught might have more heavy metals. But I promise you, the farm raised is much worse, because you're going to deal with the antibiotics and the heavy metals. So you have to pick the best of the best. Now, you know, if you lived in a farm and you grew own produce and mind your own fish, that's great. But there, you just have to choose the best of the options. And then you have to address your body's health, like how you detox and how you make sure that your body is eliminating the things that it should not have.
And we're going to talk about detoxing most definitely, because we want to look at solutions and what we can do.
Yeah.
So let's... looking at the problem still, you mentioned certain chemicals. Let's talk about, we talked about the chemicals in food, the coloring and everything. What are some of the most concerning toxic ingredients that we can find in everyday processed food?
Yeah.
There are so many of them, but maybe you can point us to one or two if you...
Okay, so we know the dyes. The other two that are really concerning from a healthcare perspective are PFAS chemicals and BPA. So forever chemicals. What a cute name. Forever chemicals mean these things are so resistant to degradation that they sit in your system. You know, these are the things that you find, the coating of pans, nonstick. Ooh, what a revolution. Why is it nonstick? You know, it's nonstick because you're coating it with a chemical that allows the food to not stick, but that chemical ends up in your body. The same way it doesn't break down, it doesn't break down in your body either, right? So PFAS chemical, and there's a whole bunch of those that are in that category. Now, in 2022 and 2023, the government did ban two of those, but there are 60, okay, at least.
Oh, wow.
And they're banning two. It's just like the red dye going from red dye number 4 to red dye number 40. It's just whack-a-mole, because as long as they're in the same chemical family, they're going to most likely create the same problem in the body. Mm-hmm. And part of the reason is we don't know all the problems they cause because we haven't studied them enough. But we do know, like, the red dye is causing cancer. We know that PFAS are endocrine disruptors. And what that means is that your hormonal balance. So things like breast cancers are more affected by this. Mm. People that have more estrogen or tend to have more breast cancer, we find that it can be associated with some of these PFAS chemicals. So not only endocrine disruptors, but neurochemical disruptors. So we find that children with, you know, behavioral issues are often associated with these dyes and PFAS, you know. So PFAS is a big category, dyes are another. And then the BPA story.
Yes. Water bottle, plastic.
Water bottle. Yes. Amazing. And everyone went, okay, I know BPA is bad. It's plastic. So I'm not going to get BPA anymore. Most of the products that say BPA free just now have BPF. They went from BPA to BPB to BPS, and now they're at BPF.
Mm.
So for me, whenever I look at a bottle that says BPA free, I just know it's a code word that means it has BPF in it. So I just avoid those water bottles altogether.
Okay. Yeah. So then we have to avoid the plastic water bottles.
Absolutely.
If we can.
Plastic leaks into your water. It gets into your system. You need to get glass bottles. Mm-hmm. And I know that's more expensive. So then we start talking about economic disparities here.
Yes.
But we have to pick our battles. So you can also get water filters that in your house.
Okay.
And that's still another thing. You know, it's another cost. But the cost to fixing the problem in your body mm-hmm. will outweigh that. So you have to invest in your health at some point. You pay now or you pay later is where I tell people, you know. So mm-hmm. glass bottles are the way to go. You know, I have certain companies that, like, I have no financial incentives in these companies, but they do tend to study and make sure that they're, you know, free. So first thing, your water should be spring water, right? So a nice spring water source, not a reverse osmosis and all of these other things that break water bonds. Water is a live material.
Okay.
You want to get a nice spring water in a glass bottle. That's the first thing.
Okay.
The next best option is a charcoal filter. All right. So reverse osmosis does do a good job of getting rid of some of these chemicals. But when you reverse osmosis, you break the bonds of the water. And that water, this is a whole science lesson I can give. But when you break the bonds of the water, you can cause other problems in your body. So charcoal filter doesn't break the bonds. It doesn't remove as much as reverse osmosis water. Filters, but it does do a really good job. And you can put them in your shower head. You can put them in the, like, if you're living in an apartment, you might not be able to tap into your water source and, you know, get those. But you can buy the detachable ones.
Okay.
You put on your pipe and you put on your shower, and they do eliminate some of them. Not all, but the game is how much you can get out of, stop from getting into your body.
Yes.
And then how much you can get out.
Wow, that's amazing. Okay, well, we're going to have more tips and advice from Dr. Knight. We talked about the problems. There are many more problems, but we will look at some solutions. We have to take a short break. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, corruption is plaguing many African countries. Each year, the Corruption Perception Index presents an overview of how countries worldwide are doing. In 2024, sub-Saharan African nations scored the lowest, but there are few countries that made remarkable progress. Join me, Vincent Macquarie, for an in-depth discussion on the cost of corruption in Africa, Wednesday at 18:30 UTC.
On the 8th of March 2025, International Women's Day will be celebrated under the theme For All Women and Girls, Rights, Equality, Empowerment. This year's theme called for action that can unlock equal rights, power and opportunities for all. On the next edition of Our Voices, we kick off Women's History Month by taking a closer look at the call to accelerate action. Join the conversation on Wednesday at 1900 UTC on The Voice of America.
Welcome back to Health Chat. Our guest today is Dr. Shondell Knight, a naturopathic doctor and founder of Nivala Holistic Medicine. If you're just joining us, we're looking at toxic ingredients in food. Now we want to look at solutions, and we started to talk about solutions, Dr. Knight, before the break, where you talked about filter. You know, just on a side note, I remember when we were kids, I grew up in Africa, and one of the things in one of our science class, we learned how to make a water filter mm-hmm. with charcoal. So yeah. When you mentioned that, I was like, oh, yes.
Brought
I
you back
that.
To the challenge.
Yes, yes, yes. So listen, so many chemicals, so little time to talk about them. But if we want to look at the basic chemicals that we are in contact with, mm-hmm. you mentioned BPA, color dyes in food. What natural alternatives to artificial food colorings can consumers look for if you're making your cake or if you want to buy something for your child? What are the alternatives?
You want to look at the ones that are made from food, things like beets, things like, there are so many foods. Look, look at nature. There's so many coloring that are natural. And the sustainable manufacturers that use food, and it will say, you know, food source dyes on it. Okay. And there are many of them. What you want to avoid, anything that has a chemical name, but look for things that says food source. Anything that's food grade is pretty safe for your body.
Okay. So, Blueberries.
Yes. Beets. Like the orange fruits. Swiss chard has this beautiful red color.
Okay.
Like you can use things like that. And I've found many manufacturers that are using them. They're usually more costly because it takes more to make it.
Mm-hmm.
But if we invest in those companies, they'll be able to produce more and be safer for us at Urban Overhaul. So food-based colorings is what you want to look for.
Okay. So besides food, right?
Mm-hmm.
We live every day around those chemicals. Just your water bottle can be a problem as we talked about it. How can people start with detoxing their bodies from harmful food additives and toxins?
All right. So let me mention a couple more sources to look for. So,
okay.
Because I know we didn't talk about this, but it's important where you can find some of these chemicals. So anytime you have a wrapping for a food that's kind of glossy, so your pizza box, your microwavable popcorn, all of those things, if you see the wrappings of candy, if you see like a waxy coating, you want to avoid that. That's the first thing. Those are where you find those chemicals very, very available. Okay. So avoid them. That's the first thing. And then the second thing, in order to detox, you always have to go back to ancient wisdom. So I love that you just talked about, they taught you how to build charcoal faucets. I didn't get that lesson. I need to go back to school. But often this wisdom is passed down. So first of all, you have some major organs that are meant to detox your body. All right.
Okay.
So your stool moves solid waste out. Your urine moves liquid waste. Your liver, hardest organ, working organ of detoxification. Your blood has to cycle through your liver multiple times a day.
Okay.
You have to make sure that these systems are strong. And then one really simple thing, you have to sweat. You have to glisten, you have to gloss, whatever you want to call it. You need to be sweating multiple times a day because the things that come out of your pore, your skin is your largest organ of detoxification. Every inch of you with all of these wonderful pores are meant to get things out of your system.
Okay.
Sweat. And if you can get into an infrared sauna, my friend, you will amplify the sweating ability. When after 9/11, there was a protocol that was put in place for those guys that were running into the burning buildings and coming out with all the chemicals.
Yeah.
We use niacin, which is a B vitamin. It makes you bring the blood really close to the surface of your skin.
Okay.
And then we put them in infrared saunas. So niacin plus sauna is an incredible way to detox. But if you can't access that, mm-hmm. go sweat. Let the power
exercise.
Of the sun. Yes. Exercise, outside. Sun, walking in nature. Like the sun heating up your skin allows you to sweat. But cardiovascular exercise will allow that sweat to come out. And in order for you to truly sweat, you also need to be able to drink enough water. You have to produce that liquid, right? So, you know, half your body weight in water is what you need to be. So if you're, you know, 130 pounds, you want to divide that by half. And that's the amount of water you should be drinking in ounces. So 140 pound person, that's 70 ounces of water, right?
Oh.
So half your body weight in water in ounces is what you need to be drinking so that your body can process. You are mostly water, you know? 70% of your body is water.
Yeah, 70% of the body is water.
You got to replace that, especially if you're going to sweat. If you want to really induce sweating, you also have to drink enough water to do so.
Very interesting. So what other ways that in naturopathic medicine you help people manage the effects of food toxicity?
So one of my favorite things, I am an avid faster. And
okay.
I know when I say fast, people go, you're going to do what? Yes, you are going to, and you're going to do this responsible. Like there's a way to get into water fast. And water fasting is incredibly powerful for detoxing your body, for balancing hormones as well. So, but you don't just want to go, I'm just going to stop eating today. And that's what I'm going to do. You walk yourself into it. So let me tell you about the benefits. After 48 hours of water only fasting, which means you're drinking lots of water, but nothing else. You can put herbs in that water, but nothing with any calories in it.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is your body goes through something called autophagy. Auto is self, phagy meaning eat. Eating oneself. So the body goes in and cleans up dead materials at about 48 hours into a water fast. This is in my study. These studies have been done over and over and over again. And it's repeatable. 48 hours into a water-only fast, there's a cleaning of house that begins. It's like a little vacuum where we start cleaning up dead and broken cells, DNA that's been damaged. So it's also a powerful adjunct to cancer therapy. You know, we can go in and start cleaning up dead cells. It increases something called macrophages, macro meaning big, phage again, meaning eating. So these big eating cells, you have cells in your body that are literally, they look like Pac-Man. They go, and I'm a visual person. So Pac-Man cells, macrophages, go about mm-hmm. and start eating up dead materials. You also have something called natural killer cells. We didn't get creative. They naturally kill things. So they naturally go in and kill parasites and bacteria. All of these things improve when you do a water-only fast. So one of the things I do is teach people how to water-only fast.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's you walk into it. You don't just stop eating. You gradually go down into a water, into a liquid diet. So first day you might eat two meals and have a smoothie. The next day you're going to have two smoothies and one meal. And you keep walking down until you're on smoothie only, broth only, and then water only. But you do have to monitor. So if you're taking medications and things like that, you want someone to monitor that. You might need to bring your medication down. So please contact someone who knows how to water fast. And there's a lot of people out there, myself included, that can teach you how to appropriately do this. But it's such a powerful medicine that you can do on your own. And you're not spending any money to do this. You know, it's not about the money. This is about activating the natural healing powers of the body. So water-only fasting is one of my things. But glutathione is another. Glutathione is your body's major antioxidant. It is your bigger cancer fighter. Okay. It's the things that detox. So all of these things that you can do from the natural medicine perspective. But those are my two favorite, glutathione and water-only fasting.
But water-only fast, you get hungry, though. Listen, do you manage
that? I'm not used to person. I tell you.
If you're not used to doing it, what do you do when you're hungry? First day.
Okay.
I mean, you'll be on the floor. Like, I'm imagining myself on the floor.
You may be. I'm going to tell you. My first day of what I've been doing water fasting for 10 years. And every time I'm going, am I really going to do this again? And you know what, though? And everyone, we do water fasting retreats where we take people and water fast them. And everyone always says the same thing. I don't want to. But yes, the first day your body's going through a switch, right? You feel really tired. You don't have energy. But you know what happens? Mm-hmm. After 24 hours, your body starts to burn fat. And fat is incredibly nutrient dense.
Okay.
You know, sugar burns faster, right? So you drink something with sugar. You see how quickly you get all wired.
Yes.
Fat burns slower, but longer. It's like getting 87 gas versus 93. Like you get a faster fuel with sugar, but as soon as your body doesn't have enough sugar, it will go after fat. And that fat, uh-huh. You'll actually see it. Your body will go into something called ketosis. Ketones are what fat is made of. And you can see it in your urine and you'll start to get this energy. You're like, where am I getting energy from? Mm-hmm. You are burning fat. I worked at a water fasting clinic in Santa Rosa as a part of my residency to become a doctor. And there we've water fast people. We had 26 bed facility and we would water fast people, just stay on site and we would see what would happen. When you start to get into ketosis, you get this surge of energy and your brain really likes it because your brain prefers ketones, the fat that's broken down, than sugar.
Okay.
You get this clarity of mind. Mm-hmm. At this retreat, we had a lot of celebrities that would come and write books and do movies because you get into this space where your brain becomes really clear. This happens about 24 hours into water-only fasting. You just have to get through the first 24 hours.
That's amazing.
Lay down is what you're going to do. You're going to devoid yourself from stressful situations. So find a weekend. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, you don't have a bunch of people visiting. You can just rest, pick up a book and rest. I promise you, you won't die. No one has ever died.
After 24 hours?
You're not going to die. You're going to burn some fat. Okay? You will not die. I promise you. You'll drink lots of water. Mm-hmm. You'll be very hydrated. You'll be annoyed. You'll be hangry. All of these things. But you know what? These are all addictive things. So one of the things I found in water fasting, I really just wanted to chew something. I don't care what it was. I just wanted to chew. I'm chewing my cum at this point. But, you know, it's an addiction. And that the word chewing is called mastication in medical language. We are addicted to just chewing. And I promise you, you will not die from not chewing for 24 hours.
Yes.
And once you switch into ketosis, you get this energy. If you YouTube me back when I first started water fasting, this young girl with a ring in my lip and all kinds of craziness. And I'm like, I got into 24 hours. I want to go for a run. I feel so good. Do that. I ran up the hill and couldn't come back. But you get this energy is what I'm saying. And you tap into this power that's already in your body that you can utilize. So it's possible.
It's possible?
And it's doable.
Okay. We are talking to Dr. Shondell Knight, a naturopathic doctor and founder of Nirvana Holistic Medicine. And Dr. Shondell, thank you so much for your time.
Short.
We appreciate it. That's all for this edition of Health Chat. We thank our guest, Dr. Shondell Knight, founder of Nirvana Holistic Medicine. Thank you all